welcome to Wise Lives, another edition together. I'm really pleased to introduce you today to a friend of ours called Isabella Senior. Isabella, hello.
Hello.
It's great to be with you today. You have a very English sounding name, but surprise us by telling us where you're from and just give us a little bit of information about what you're about.
Hi everyone, it's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me to share. And I'm speaking a little bit more so you can try and guess my accent. Spanish, Portuguese, it is Portuguese because I'm Brazilian. And even though my surname says Senior, and that comes from my husband who's from the UK, my Brazilian surname is Assis de Souza. And
that's more like it,
isn't it? That's what I thought. If I gave you my maiden surname, you would guess where I'm from. And yeah, I grew up in Brazil, did some church planting with my family. My dad is a Baptist minister, and we planted two churches from when I was 12 until I was about 17. So yeah, so that's a little bit about
me. So whereabouts in Brazil are you from?
Rio de Janeiro. So yeah, think of Christ Redeemer. That's where I come from.
The gleaming sea and the green hills.
And hot weather, which yes. I love. So yeah, so that's where I'm from. My dad is actually a surfer. So I grew up surfing my whole life. Just before going to church on a Sunday, we would go to the sea with the other young people and young adults from church, and we'd just surf for a couple of hours and then have a shower at church and straight onto the service. So yeah, very different reality to here, but yeah, really good fun.
Making me jealous already. Well, it's great that you are here in Sheffield. So how long have you been in the UK and how did you come to be here?
So I've been in the UK for the past 8 years, but actually my story with the UK starts before that, when I was 15. So in Brazil, I'm similar to some Spanish-speaking countries. When a girl turns 15, there's a big party. But now people normally choose between a party or a trip. And I really wanted to travel, but I didn't want my trip to be any other trip to Disneyland or anything like this. I wanted it to be something really meaningful. Having been involved with church planting as a teenager, I wanted to see how God was moving in other countries. So the youth leaders of my sending church came to serve in the UK. And the minister of my church, which is still my church now, said to them, there's a missing generation in the UK, and I would love to bring people from other nations to do a little bit of reverse mission. Would you go out and invite people in the places that you know? He spoke to these youth leaders from my sending church and see if anyone is interested. So they went back to Brazil, spoke to lots of people, traveled all around Brazil, trying to see if anyone was interested. Of course, everyone was interested to come to London and to the UK,
sure.
But not interested in serving in a church. And I remember sitting in a service when they were sharing, and I was only 15, sitting there. And as they spoke about churches closing down in the UK and the generation of young people and young adults not engaging with faith, not knowing Jesus, for me, that just make my heart sink, because wow, that's what I had been spending my teenage years doing, telling people about Jesus, seeing him move in my school with the church plants that we were doing. So I just thought, what's going on? This is the country that sent missionaries. And now their churches are becoming pubs and closing down. And people my age and older than me don't know Jesus. So that really spoke to me. But I thought, what am I thinking? Me, you know, haven't got the money. My parents are doing church planting. We don't have a lot of money. How is that gonna work? Don't know much English. So how am I gonna actually talk to people? But funny enough, and like it happens in Brazil, there are lots of services on a Sunday or like one after nearly every day, there'll be something happening at church. And the following day, these youth leaders were in another service that I happened to be as well. And they shared the same, and my parents were in that service. And when they shared it again, I just started crying because I heard very clearly God saying to me, go,
wow,
go, it's for you to go. And I remember debating with God in my mind and saying, but I don't have money. I can't speak, you know, all of that.
And this is when you were
that.
15 years old.
When I was 15.
Yes, that's a big deal.
A very big deal. And also, they were sharing this opportunity for people that were 18 plus, not someone who was 15. So I thought, even if I'm feeling a calling to go, that can happen. But God said go, and I said, okay, God, I don't know how. I don't know where exactly this is going to happen and when this is going to happen, but I know it's you who's calling me, so I know the who, and I'm going to say yes. So I said yes. My parents, as I said, were in the service as well. And at the end of the service, I turned to them and I said, you know what, they spoke. I think God's calling me to go. And I thought my parents were going to say, oh yeah, isn't that lovely? We can see that. Great that God's speaking to you, but you're only 15. Mm. How can this be? But actually they said the opposite. They said, we heard God say the same. Uh-huh. That's for you to go. And maybe this could be your trip for your 15th birthday party. And this was towards the end of my year of being 15. So my parents said that at the end of the service, spoke to these youth leaders. And I said to them, I think God's calling me. Explain everything that I just shared with you here now. And they said to me, you know what? We don't know how this is going to work because you are only 15. You're at school. How are we going to make this happen? But if you feel that it is God speaking to you, we know he will make it happen. So I waited for 3 months for them to work out if it was possible.
I really like that attitude because, you know, sometimes people will come to you and to me, maybe in what we do now, and we'll talk about that later, but and they'll say, I have this plan or God said this. And if it's ever possible for Christian leaders to say yes, it's so helpful, isn't it? And say, do you know what? If God said that, we will find a way. I mean, my wife Marjorie, who you know, she was a YWAMer back in her youth, and it's still in her heart now.
And that.
Yeah, you don't stop being a YWAMer, youth with a mission. They heard big calls and visions from God, and they had usually no money and no resource to make it happen, but they were willing to say yes. And then God opens a way. So I'm assuming that that's what you're going to tell us happened next.
It is, because they travel around Brazil and there was no one else that was interested to go. So they actually came back to me because they said, you're the only one. So we will make a way because we see that God's calling you and we want to make this possible. So that's what they did.
What happened in the UK? Did God speak further?
He did. So I came, stayed for 3 months, had a wonderful experience. And God actually changed my plans and changed what I thought my life was going to be like.
Wow.
Having done church planting as a young person, I knew the joys, but also the challenges of doing church planting and serving the Lord full time. And I said, God, I know you're calling me to do this, but I'm scared. I'm really scared. And also, I want to have a career. Mm. I want to have a family. I have plans for my life. And I'm scared that ultimately you are not going to provide for me. And that's what I concluded in my time in the UK. That was actually saying that God, that I didn't think God would provide for me. And because of that, I had made other plans to provide for myself.
Right.
And my plans were to go to med school, to serve to the Lord in being a doctor. And that's very possible. And lots of people do that. But for me, that wasn't what God was calling me to do.
Right.
So even though I had the encouragement of everyone else saying, yes, you can do both. Really, deep down, that was rooted in fear of God not being good, in fear of God not being a provider. So when I was in the UK, I realized that and I said, Lord, forgive me, help me. I will serve you now. I remember going to a church, just walking around in London and going to John Wesley's church.
Right.
In London, it's very close to North London, where I live. And I went to that church and I sat there and I said, Lord, forgive me. I want to serve you. What would you have me do? And I just heard God say to me, I want you to serve me. And I want you to serve me now. I don't want you to wait until you're older, until you have money, until you've got a career, until you can speak English, until whatever. I want you to serve me now, age 15. And I just said, yes, Lord, I will serve you. And he said more. He said, I want you to serve your generation and younger generations. So I knew God wanted me to serve now, that it wasn't for me to wait. And I knew it had something to do with people my age and younger. So I went back to Brazil and changed completely my plans. Had plans of studying medicine, had got a bursary in a private school. So I had to go to the school and say to them, actually, this plan is not going to work anymore.
Oh.
So it was a big deal for me to change what I thought my life was going to be like. But oh my goodness, I'm so happy that I did, because I know full well now that God is good.
Mm.
He's a provider, that he called me, and that he has great things ahead for my generation and younger generations. And it's just a privilege to be
part
of that.
I love that. Isabella is smiling at this point, just for your everyone on the podcast to note. And so we skip forward a few years. You went back to Brazil, and then you returned around age 18 to the UK. Just tell us a little bit about what you are doing now, would you? Because you have a role with the Baptist Union, with the Baptists in the UK. I'd love to hear a bit more about that.
That's right. So after God spoke to me when I was 15, I didn't think it was going to be in the UK. I thought it was going to be in Brazil, because God was moving in amazing ways in Brazil, and he still is. So I wanted to be part of that. And I thought, yes, I'm going to go to uni. I'm going to serve the Lord with the young adults, with young people. But actually, when I turned 18, this church that was volunteering when I was 15 invited me to come back. In London. So I came back and did an internship with them for two years. While I was studying theology at Spurgeon's College in London as well. And then thought, okay, I'm going to go back to Brazil. God said, no, stay in the UK a bit longer. So then took two more years being a minister in training. So really enjoyed that. And then I said, okay, right now I will go back to Brazil. And then the Lord said, actually, no, I want you to stay here a bit longer. Met my husband, we got married. And then at that point, I thought God was going to say, okay, right, the UK is like a bridge. You were here for a while to connect with the nations, because the nations are here. To connect with the nations, and then I'll send you out. And I thought it would be Brazil, but not Brazil, maybe somewhere else. So I thought, okay, that's right. And then the pandemic hit. And I thought, I'm going to have a sabbatical to just pray and ask God, what is it that he wants me to do after I finish my training in theology? Start praying. And again, the Lord said, stay put in the UK. Stay put in the UK. And I said, okay, Lord, I will do that. Started getting involved with a church planting catalyst in London, a mission agency, working with young people, doing lots of things London-wide.
Great.
And then this job came along, which is to be Young Leaders Development Coordinator for Baptist Union. It's a long name.
That is a long title.
A long, long name. But basically what it means is serving these generation, younger generations, as they grow as disciples and leaders. So that's what I do. That's what I do in my role, supporting people in churches in that way. And I think a big part of this role, because it's a pioneering role in terms of it hasn't existed before, comes actually from young adults being on fire for the Lord and needing the support there for them, needing someone to come alongside them, and structures that will actually facilitate that for people. And others that are coming as well and saying, yes, I want to serve, but I need some resources. I need some people to be alongside me. I need some opportunities. So my role is putting those opportunities and people and support in place for others, which is really exciting. And also helping churches that really want to engage with young adults but don't know how.
Right.
Churches that have one or two young adults and churches that have no young adults but know the Lord is calling them to engage with the younger generations. So a lot of my role is also supporting those churches and those ones and twos in Baptist churches.
Wow. So what's the we're actually quite privileged, because there are young adults
definitely, yeah,
20s and 30s and students and teenagers, and it's really vibrant and fun. And it brings a great deal of life to me and Marjorie. We love spending time with that generation. Partly we think we're still in it, but actually it turns out we're not anymore.
I can't believe it. Yeah.
My daughter will tell me, she's 18, she'll tell me we're not in that generation anymore. But, you know, you hold it in your heart.
Yeah.
And so what's the picture like in the UK for the English church, the Baptist church particularly? What are you seeing God doing, and are there pockets of growth, or is, you know, the picture sometimes that's painted is just decline and kind of that generation disappearing from the church? What are you seeing around the UK?
I'm actually really encouraged by what I see when I visit churches, when I talk to people here in the UK. And I see that the picture is actually that the temperature, the spiritual temperature, is just increasing. It's just hitting up, preparing for revival.
Yeah.
And I just love being part of that. And when we think about revival, we think about lots of people coming to know the Lord. And I think that is coming. But now it's kind of putting the infrastructure before that happens.
Right.
So those that are leading are ready to disciple others and ready to just multiply. So what I see in the UK is young adults just loving Jesus, wanting to make disciples, needing the resources, the support, as I said before, to do that well, because their heart is just saying, it's just crying out, because they want to see their peers and their mates and everyone around them in all the places they're in, universities, in their workplace, in their families, giving their life to Jesus. We don't want to waste our lives. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my young adult years. And I meet other people that are saying the same.
Right.
And are willing to lay down their lives, like I did with my life, my plans, what I thought my life was going to be like, for the greater cause of the kingdom. And I see other young adults wanting to do the same, and that really encourages me. And that's not only when I'm going to a church with lots of other young adults that see that, but when I visit churches with one and two young adults, and I'm often thinking, you could go to another church, or you could just stop going altogether, you know, because you don't have anyone else your age and no one that actually gets you, not just because they're not your age, but because you're coming with a fresh perspective of things, and people are doing things in a particular way like they've always done.
Right.
And when I talk to them, they say, well, we want to be part of the change.
Okay.
We want to be part of the change. So we're going to stay here in these churches with not many people, because we know that the Lord is moving, and we want to be part of it, and we know he's inviting us to join in.
I love that. I mean, you see that across society with Generation Y, particularly Gen Z as well. The guys who are maybe 25 and under now, And you're not far off that, are you?
No, I'm just in the middle, actually, because I'm 26. So I'm kind of like millennial and Gen Z. So there are things that relate more to Gen Z, and there are things that relate more to a millennial.
Okay, and which is great too, and there's that real passion to actually not be satisfied with the status quo, but also not expect somebody else to sort the problem out so much as, well, let's do it ourselves. You know, we're empowered. We raise people to believe that they can change the world, and I love the fact that Gen Z actually think that they can. Because that will bring about positive change, hopefully, in our society and in the church, if we're open to hearing that from people.
Absolutely. And I think it's taking ownership as well. We are not just spectators when we go to church. We are part of a church. We belong here. And it's all of us together. It's not just the person at the front doing something and we come here and we watch it and we enjoy it. But actually, it's all of us together, because we want other people to meet Jesus. So we need to join in. And I just love seeing that in the places that I go and the churches I visit, you know, the stories of people going back to that church after being to university. And there's only them there in that age group. But they remember that when they were young people, there were lots of them.
Yeah.
And they went back. There's a story of someone that went back to that church, and for, you know, I want my mates to come to church. Where are they? They were here when they were young people. Now that we're young adults, no one is here anymore. What's happening? So he went and just called them.
Okay.
And said, hey, shall we do a reunion of our youth group? And did that in the church.
Mm.
And said, you know, let's...
Had some bad pizza.
Yeah.
cheap coffee.
Play some games.
Some biscuits.
Yeah, absolutely. And to his surprise, people came.
Yeah, of course.
And he was able to reconnect with them, have deep conversations with them, and kind of reignite their group.
Uh-huh.
And now they see hundreds of people coming to the Lord as young adults.
Wow.
That one person that then invited someone else, reconnected someone else, and then someone else, and then to this reunion. Huh. And now there are lots that know the Lord because of that, you know. And so many testimonies of people saying that guy called them exactly at the point that they were saying, God, if you're real, where are you? Where are you? I've heard so much. I've had experiences with you, and I've heard so much of you as a young person. But now, at this particular point in my life, where are you? And then that guy picked up the phone and called them. So God is really moving, you know. And people are ready. The harvest is ready.
Yeah, always.
So having people saying, yes, we want to join in and be part of this is wonderful. And I love just coming alongside them and actually releasing people to do that when they have the right tools and resources, you know. Because it's hard to do this when you feel like you are the only one.
Yes.
You go for a while, but then you get tired and you can burn out.
Yeah.
So having people and the support and opportunities around you help you in the long run. And that's what I'd love to see people doing, not just for a while, but actually to keep running with the Lord.
That's great advice for anyone being a disciple of Jesus, isn't it? Actually, it's not a good idea to try and do it on your own. We need each other. We need community around us. We need to engage with other Christians. You know, the church is a body for a reason. It's a beautiful thing that helps you to stay on fire. One of the things, you know, that saddens me is watching people who hit maybe mid 30s when actually some of that fire seems to dwindle because you get the cares of this world and you get, you know, the mortgage and the job to keep down and you get the kids and you're tired and you know,
and maybe you've been doing this for a decade already.
Yes, and perhaps you haven't seen some of the things that someone, you know, that you thought you should see or that God should have done. But actually, some of the story that you're telling me today is more about obedience, actually, than it is about, you know, the fruit is God's responsibility. The obedience is ours.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it, you know, it saddens me to watch that kind of middle 30s when they drop off and get a little bit cynical and tired. And I know they're tired, and I've been there. We raised three kids ourselves, but I've still managed to stay on fire. So I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about what you see around the UK in young people today that is encouraging, that we can really hold on to.
Yeah, I think I'm always encouraged by the young adults' passion.
Fashion.
I'm not gonna lie, the fashion as well. I like the fashion too. I think we are cool. And I love that we are passionate about so many things. And top priority of those things is Jesus. Passionate about Jesus, passionate about making disciples, and actually passionate about the church. Yeah. I see young adults passionate about the church, recognizing that we, like you just said, that we need each other,
right,
and that the call that God has for our lives is not an individual call, as we sometimes think in the West, it's all about me and my calling and my life and my plans. But actually, it's about God's calling for us collectively as the church.
Right.
And I think young adults get that. We love doing things with other people. We love collaboration and the passion to be with others for Jesus. It is just wonderful, and it always encourages me. And I think young adults, also young people and young adults, Gen Z and millennials, bring us back as a church collectively to the main thing, to keep the main thing the main thing. Take all distractions away and focus in Jesus, focus in making disciples, and a faith that's not just the four walls of church, that of the church building, but actually goes beyond and meets all people everywhere they are, everyone everywhere. And I love that as well, that they don't want their faith to be a Sunday thing, but they recognize they need Jesus every day.
Yeah, 100%.
And how to make that happen, how to do that well, is something that I'm often talking to young adults about.
Wow, yeah, and we should learn and listen. We talk at the Well about every person, everywhere, every day being involved. So it's that sense of whole life discipleship that you know, discipleship to Jesus doesn't stop at the, I don't know, at the church door or at the front door. It's the whole of life. And today's generations are much better, I think, actually, at integrating work and life and that balance, or, you know, and leisure and all of that stuff. It all kind of has to roll in together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I see as well in evangelism that the questions that young adults, and not just young adults, but young adults will actually say it, while the other generations might be thinking it, but may not have the boldness to actually say and share and express what they're actually thinking. And the questions that people are asking, it's not, is Jesus real? Or, you know, what's the Bible about? I don't see people asking these questions as a first question. The question people are asking is, what difference does it make?
Uh-huh.
Does it make any difference? How is this relevant to my life? Why having faith in Jesus matters? So it makes sense that we in this generation want to see our faith beyond Sundays and beyond the church building, because these are the questions that we're being asked. How does your faith impact your everyday life? And I believe that's what this podcast is about.
I hope so.
Which is just wonderful, because we need to have these conversations, because our faith is not just something for ourselves and something to talk to other Christians about, because it's a lovely thing. But actually, our faith is radical.
Yeah.
It's transformative.
Come on.
And it has changed me. It has changed us. And we see the world around us, and we see the world is crying out for hope, for restoration, for transformation. And we know there's no other place where that can happen apart from being close to Jesus and in church.
Yeah, yeah.
As flawed as it may be, you know, there are moments I'm sure we come to church and we're like, I'm not sure about this.
Yeah.
But actually, this is the place that God has commissioned to be the place that will bring hope to the world through him, empowered by his spirit, but yes, together with him. And I love that we can have these conversations, preparing people for what they face Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, and every day and everywhere that they go.
Yeah, 100%. Love that. I love that, Isabella. So tell me, we've talked a little bit about what you see encouraging. What do you see infuriating in today's generations or up and down the UK?
It's really interesting, actually, because the stuff that I find infuriating and just interesting, sometimes a little bit annoying, is actually two polar opposites. So I see, and maybe because we're talking about two generations, you know, I think some generations speak one more than the other. But I see a sense of entitlement. I see a know-it-all attitude, and that really frustrates me because we're talking about collaboration and working together, but we all seem to think that we have it all right.
Right.
And that we know it all, and that there's nothing we can learn from other people. And we come to spaces thinking, yes, it's my turn to share. Yeah. I have something to say. And yes, we all have something to say. We all have something to contribute, but we don't know it all.
Yeah.
And it's not going to take us long to realize that. Mm. I hope you won't, because it will be sad if it takes a long time, you know. So that sense of entitlement really makes me sad, because I think we actually isolate ourselves and don't receive the support. Miss out and don't receive the support that we need. So that's one side.
Right.
And then on the other side, which is like a polar opposite, is imposter syndrome. People saying,
imposter syndrome.
And people saying, actually, I don't think God's calling me. He's calling someone else.
Uh-huh.
Not me, you know. I don't have this. I don't have that. And Lord, are you sure? I'm sure there's someone better. Send them. And not wanting to contribute because they don't feel like they have anything to contribute. And I just find it so interesting because it's polar opposites.
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking that you know it all and thinking that you know nothing.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, you know. And I see that between millennials and Gen Z as well. So it's a mix of that. And I'm often having conversations with people to say, actually, we need each other.
Mm.
Remember, you're saying that you want to do this together with other people. So we need to be humble.
Yeah.
And we need to learn from each other. But we also need to accept when God says that he has chosen us.
Come on.
Because when we don't, we're saying that God's a liar. Mm. He got the wrong person.
Mm.
God, what you're saying about me, that you've chosen, that you have chosen called, me, or, called yeah. me, yeah. it's not true.
Right.
And that's a lie of the enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the lie of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not the truth of the Lord. You know, it's not something that the Lord is saying that, yeah, some people, but not you.
Yeah.
He's saying, yes, you. With others.
Right, and that's the example of your life.
Absolutely, and I think it's all to do with our identity as well.
Right.
If we think it's all on us, when things don't work out, it breaks us. And that's why we see a lot of burnout, especially in the millennial generation, I think, because we think it's all on us.
Okay.
And then things don't work out and it's all our fault.
Mm.
And then when we don't join in, then we feel like, well, maybe not me. Maybe this radical gospel that we talk about just hasn't reached me. And it's because we're too afraid to join in.
Yes.
So holding both humility and confidence on what the truth that God speaks about identity is a really key thing. And it's something that I need to remind myself all the time. I know some things, I don't know everything, and I need everyone with me. I need the church.
Yeah.
I really need the church.
I love that message. That's a really good way for us to come into a land, Isabella. Thank you. And thank you for what you've been. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing and just pouring out that heart and that passion that you carry. I wonder if you'd be willing to pray for us just as we come to a close, perhaps. Pray for that sense of revival and the thing that God has, and also for us to be those kind of disciples that say yes to the call of God when he makes it upon us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Jesus, thank you so much that you are good God and that you are calling us, Lord. You are inviting us to be part of what you're doing in the world, and we love that. Thank you, Jesus, for your calling.
Yeah.
For us as your church, as your bride, Jesus. Would you help us actually work well together with each other? Would you help us count on each other's support? Would you help us walk alongside each other, Jesus? Because we want to see the UK on fire for you. We don't want to see young adults wasting away their lives and their youth, Lord. We want people that know you, that have been transformed by you, Lord. And we know that empowered by your spirit, we can do that when we share. So would you help us, Lord? Yeah. We want to see more of you in this country. And we are so glad that we get to be part of this. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Isabella, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really encouraged by what you're saying, what you're seeing around the country. So we bless what God is doing through you. And we'll look forward to seeing more to come.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.